Welcome to the GOGcast, brought to you by XSplit Broadcaster, simple yet powerful live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah, and this is episode number 148. Two away from that magical 150. This week's going to be a little shorter than our usual show. Due to some scheduling conflicts and some rigmarole and all that jazz. We're not going to have topic of the show in the traditional form this week, but, you know, we still wanted to chat with you and bring you all the up-and-coming news in the video game world. Before we get into that, of course, want to introduce you to all the friendly voices around this digital table. Catherine, how goes?
I'm good. It's Friday. Yay. We're recording on a Friday, so I'm just waiting for this to be over to get cocktail hour going.
I'm already started.
Yeah, like what's stopping you? Now?
I forgot to grab my drink before we started recording, okay? I'm a mess tonight. Just a mess.
It's okay. Simon, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Lovely.
I am exhausted, stressed, and all those things, so it's perfect.
Okay. We're missing out on Allie tonight. She's out doing a little Valentine's Day thing with her hubby, but that's okay. We'll have her back next week. And of course, before we get into what everybody's playing, which we usually do around this time in the show, I want to remind you that if you enjoy this lovely episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and where we host this show on Podbean. But of course, if you're ever looking for any of our episodes, you can go to iHeartRadio.ca. That's my job. Girls on Games is at girlsongames.ca.
Wow.
Look, I've been kind of AFK this week because I've had to travel for work and it's been intense. So we, 3 days in Toronto, so it's been a whirlwind.
Yo, Triple W is so 2007. Like, it's girlsongames.girlsongames.ca/girlsongames.
That's intense. Yes. I don't know what would happen if you typed all that into the browser.
Try it.
All right.
See what happens.
I'm not responsible for whatever happens from beyond this point. All right. Let's talk about what games you're playing, Catherine. What games you gaming?
I'm still playing Persona 5. I've actually been taking a bit of a break just because I haven't been home to game as much.
Okay.
So yeah. I've only been playing like an hour or two at a time. And, you know, it's a 120-hour game. So it really slowed down my progression. Like a whole fucking lot. So I'm at the final boss of the fifth palace right now. So, but I have nothing to do this weekend, so I'm probably gonna power through the fifth palace and then whatever time frame I have to spend before I get to the sixth one, all in one sitting. Been playing a bit of Overwatch at lunch, still doing that.
As we're recording this,
the Lunar New Year event just started.
Okay.
I haven't played yet. There's a new map, a new Capture the Flab map that goes with the event.
Hold on. Did you say Capture the Flab?
Yeah.
Capture the flag.
Cap the flap, yo. You gotta cap that flap.
I told you I was a mess. So there's a new Capture the Flag map for the event. So I'm probably like tonight or tomorrow I'm going to log on and try some of that and try to get some of these new skins and
they're
things
pretty
like that.
I was just looking at them.
It's the first Genji skin that I'm like, holy shit, that looks amazing. Not a big fan of Genji, gonna be honest. Not a big fan of his gameplay, not a big fan of his look, not a big fan of people who play Genji, so I'm gonna be honest. I've been playing a lot of Moira, and like every Genji I've played with were like, you're not healing me enough. I'm like, do you look like a tank?
I like the Widowmaker skin. It's pretty.
Oh,
nice.
Widow always looks like a fucking $1 million, doesn't she?
Oh,
I mean, she could be, you know, wearing a fucking winter jacket and she would still look hot in it. So
hold on, is that like a stab at May?
No, May is
cute.
She's the worst character in Overwatch, but she's the one I like the most. So
okay, as a character,
tells you everything.
You mean paper bag. Usually when people say that, they say she could be wearing a paper bag and still look a million.
Anyway, but she's the incarnation of the femme fatale, right? You know, la veuve noire, the black widow. So
it's funny because I saw a tweet the other day. I posted in GOG Twitter, not Twitter, Discord. And it was Warhol, one of my favorite CSGO people, and he's like, so Overwatch is pretty much a giant quick time event where you just run around and then hit Q at the correct time, which is fucking true.
It's not a lie.
It's like, I'm like, wow, that's exactly why I don't like this game. It's because everything you do before pressing Q is almost irrelevant. So
it makes it the most accessible game though, because I was never playing competitive shooters before Overwatch, so
that's sounds like your problem.
Fuck, do you find it hard to follow it on when you watch
it's impossible
Overwatch League. I find it really hard, even with the commentators, and like I've watched other games that I don't know and I understand them better than trying to watch Overwatch League.
And it's actually something that we go over a lot when we talk about the Overwatch League in the eSport podcast of Buffs and Nerves. If you like eSport, go
to see what I did there. But I want you to plug that.
That's pretty fantastic. Honestly, like we're fans of Overwatch as a game. Well, some of us are anyways, but we all agree that it's fucking unwatchable. It is, like, and they made some big strides in making it watchable, you know, like making different skins for teams and giving a little overlay and that kind of stuff. But it's still, it's so fucking hectic that
it's fast. Yeah,
it is. It's like just a giant shit show. That's every match is that
there's six fucking players all doing different things super fast at the same time, and it's very difficult to judge the skill of a player from watching it at a distance. Like, except, you know, say for Widowmaker and McCree and 76, that kind of stuff to some extent, you know, you can kind of see that, yeah, that Widow fucking hit that shot, that was amazing, or that McCree's going wild. But like, you're watching a Mercy play and it's like, how do you know that Mercy is actually doing well? Like, okay, Zarya's hitting her bubbles in time, like, and then Winston's holding Mouse 1. That's cool, but I feel like it's very difficult to, especially for an outside person, to come in and actually watch Overwatch League and be able to enjoy what the hell's happening.
Yeah, well, they have that view where it's like kind of like, I don't remember if it was a sidelong view or a top-down. No, it was a top-down view, and you see, like, the characters moving around, and I'm like, that's just pure chaos.
Honestly, I feel like they should be that kind of map always online, always on the screen, because very often I'm like, okay, well, these guys are, like, pushing the payload. Where the fuck is the rest of the team? Like, there's so many of them in different locations engaging in different battles that, I mean, someone observing the game, as in, you know, trying to control the camera to see which player to show, that's fucking impossible because there's so much shit happening at the same time.
Yeah.
And then when you're trying to follow as a player, when they're focusing on that battle, then you don't see where the payload is moving. You don't see where this is happening. So it's like, put a mini map, put it always on there somewhere, figure out where you want to put it so that we can always kind of know where things are moving as a whole, as opposed to, I have thoughts and feelings about this. Well, clearly.
It's almost like they need a different UI on screen.
They need
like,
to
they almost
the
need to
thing.
Split it up, like, you know when you see like the speed runners, how they have the screen a certain way and then they have the camera off to the side and the time and everything. They almost need like that screen so that you're one, not blocking everything, but at the same time I kind of want to know who was killed and then who has to wait to revive and like make their way back in, because I feel like when I play Overwatch, that's what I spend most of my time doing, is just getting back to the fray.
Well, that's also the thing, that a respawn game is going to be inherently chaotic because everyone's always there spawning and doing something. Whereas, you know, I hate to bring it back to CS or Siege or that kind of stuff. Mm. If you're dead, you're fucking dead. So that there's always this like interesting moment where there's only two players left, or there's like four players left. So there's always like, okay, then it slows down. It's like, okay, like we're slow paced now. Whereas Overwatch League is always fucking go.
It's not only slows down, but it also makes intense moments that you don't get because the chaos is just chaotic
is always
the whole
there.
Time. Yeah, right?
Yeah. In CS or Siege, you get moments of chaos, but these moments of chaos are like built up and hyped up because you know that they're coming or that it's coming soon. Yeah. Whereas in Overwatch, it's always chaos.
Only one volume and it is 11.
Exactly. It's fucking the spinal tap of video games. That is, Leo, that is the perfect fucking analogy.
Overwatch, I'm so happy I gave you that. You're welcome.
Can you talk about that
next time during Oban?
100%.
There you go. Just tell everybody and they're all going to slow clap me. Guaranteed. Yeah,
I will definitely plug that in the next episode.
Oh my God. Imagine if we did a parody of Spinal Tap with Overwatch.
Overwatch characters. That'd be funny.
Oh man.
God. Anyway, so yeah, I have feelings for you about that. But
good. Anyway, that's what I've been playing this week. What the fuck have you guys been playing?
Simon, you go.
Yeah, Monster Hunter World. I've been enjoying it a lot, although the Xbox version is poop. So if you are on the fence about buying the game, don't buy the Xbox version. Regular PS4 is fine. PS4 Pro, Xbox One X are fine. But the regular Xbox version, do not buy that version.
Xbox One, did you say that was okay?
No. Xbox One X just Xbox. Is fine.
Okay, Xbox One S is fine. Xbox One
No. S as in Simon sucks. Regular okay. as in regular is okay. X as in extraordinary is fine. It's good.
You got the cranky version?
What?
How did that work out that the S version doesn't work?
No, it's it like works. The S is just the slim version. It's the same hardware as the regular.
I know. But okay, hold on. When you say, okay, so there's Xbox One OG, Xbox One S, and Xbox One X.
Yes.
It's Xbox One X that is okay.
Yes.
Xbox One OG and Xbox One S is not working.
No. Well, it's working, but it's not working
well
as much as I would have liked it to work for a game like that.
Okay, no, I thought you had said that OG and X were okay.
No,
a poop show.
No.
Okay.
Because, well, you know, for anyone who knows the podcast knows that I'm a PC gamer. But then again, this has nothing to do with fucking PC. Because if you put out a game that can barely run at 20-25 FPS, not even 1080p, like we're barely above 720, and you can't like have a steady 30 FPS, then there's a freaking issue. And it's like super blurry. And honestly, like, I'm watching videos of people playing the PS4 version or like the Xbox One X version or whatever. I'm like, wow, this looks fucking crisp and looks good and like 45 FPS. Whoa, that's actually pretty good. But then you play the regular Xbox version or the OG Xbox version or whatever, and it's like, ugh, what the actual fuck? So, like, I'm not that much into resolution more than into FPS. Like, give me 720p, 60 FPS any day of the week. As much as resolution is important, 100% give me FPS over resolution.
Okay. I can understand that.
That's
you really
kind of
can tell the difference when the frame rate starts to drop.
There's a big difference. And like I was saying in Discord earlier, if you, you know, I play FPSs in 4:3 stretched because I want to get 300 FPS. So like, that's what I want to go for. That's the amount of FPS that...
Did you just say 400 FPS?
300.
What? Yes. 300?
Yeah.
How about, can your brain about, even compute that? That's like real life.
Anything below 150, I will notice. Anything below 150, I will definitely notice a difference. Anything above 200 is usually fine. I don't really notice a difference, but like...
Do you find it hard watching movies and watching TV?
I don't watch TVs or movies.
But
no, it's not true.
Are watching YouTube or something?
No. It's not hard.
It's just for games.
Yeah, it's just for competitive games. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, just for regular games as well. I want at least 150 FPS because I have a 144 hertz monitor.
Okay.
I want to use all the hertz in my monitor, so give me 150 FPS. Like that's the basic of what I would want to have. So.
Okay.
300 is just like kind of the number that I want to go to for CS. But like if I'm above 200, I'll be totally happy with it. But yeah, just give me, so 24 when I'm used to fucking 250, no, fuck off. Give me at least 30, minimum 30 for me to not go crazy. So I'm kind of really excited for the PC release in fucking autumn, which is stupid, but whatever. I totally get that they want to double dip in the market and have idiots like me buy the game twice, but whatever.
Like you did for Destiny?
Like I did for Destiny. Like, I'm just going to wait for the PC release. And then all my friends are like, it's so good. It's amazing.
It was good for the first 30 levels.
The first 3-4 weeks of Destiny were a fucking blast. So much fun.
It's very, very
and then you're
true.
Like, oh, that's what the game is? Yeah. Although, admittedly, Bungie's been doing fantastic in trying to fix the game and make it good again. But it's like, I've been raiding once or twice with friends, and it's all fun, but the base sandbox of the game is still broken and boring and uninteresting. So
yeah, like I do.
Yeah, and Siege as well, and World of Warcraft, and that's it.
Nice. Well, when I wasn't traveling, I'm like so into Slime Rancher, it's kind of nuts. So been playing, been watching YouTube, been trying to follow up on Twitter to find out when the new thing is coming with the Quicksilver slimes, because they look super cute. I went, and as soon as I heard that Night in the Woods was available on Switch, downloaded that in preparation for traveling. But then I was so, like, there was just so much going on for work, and my two flights were like in like early AM, so I essentially slept, and then in the evening on the way back I just didn't have the brain power, so I haven't even really started it yet, so that's on my back list. But there is a game that I've been playing that I know I might have shown some of you guys, but we're not really talking about it, but maybe we should. It's called HQ. I know, Catherine, you know of it because HQ New Year's trivia. We talked about it. Yeah. Simon, have you ever heard of it? Okay. Nope. So HQ is a mobile game, and essentially it's like twice a day you get pinged on your phone, happens all on your phone, and it's a quiz show where you can win money. But essentially what happens is 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock at night, so 3 in the afternoon, 9 o'clock at night, you get ping saying HQ is live. You go into the app, the countdown happens. There's a host, a virtual host. It's a guy being filmed in front of a green screen.
So and, HQ trivia? Girl.
Yeah, HQ trivia. And then they ask you 12 trivia questions. And sometimes it can be higher if, like, during Super Bowl night, the prize was higher. So usually it's around $1,500, $2,500. But on big nights, I've seen $1,500. I think that was New Year's. And at the Super Bowl, it was $20,000, I want to say, American. So as you go through the answer the questions, people get knocked out if they get the answer wrong, right? So as you go through, I usually get knocked out around question 4 or 5 because there's just something I don't know, because the first questions are so damn easy to make you feel good. And I've played when there have been 600,000 people playing. I've played when there's been 1 million people playing. I've played when there's been 2 million people playing. And like, it's just super impressive. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, how are they able to give away money each time? So I've been watching this, and then now I'm seeing it. I'm seeing how they're doing the commercial inputs. And it's all based on the questions, and it's also based on what Scott talks about in his ramblings. But I'm like, it's fascinating because you get to the end and of the 12 or 15 questions, and all of these people that win essentially get cash, and you can cash it out right then. It's like the 2,500 or 1,500 split by how many people won. So it could be like super small if there's a lot of people who win.
25
or
cents.
It could be a fair chunk. It could be like, I've seen people win like $25 or $50. So you can cash it out right then, or you could just wait and tally it up until you got a ton of change. I've never ever won because apparently there's always some question that I don't know. You don't have time. You really don't have time. Though I have seen an article on Mashable about how you can hijack it by asking Alexa and using Google Assist on another phone. Oh. So I don't know. It's really cool. And I mean, so many freaking people are playing. And to me, it's a game. Therefore, it's gaming because it's trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's super fascinating that this thing has come in. And then I was like, how the hell do they have this kind of money to spend each day? And then I kind of figured it out how. But at the same time, I'm still freaking addicted. And I don't know what it is about trivia, but they got me.
Well, trivia's fun.
I mean, it's exciting. I love game trivia games.
Yeah, same.
I love them.
Trivial Pursuit is my jam.
Ugh. Yeah. And every time I play with my boyfriend, the walking, talking encyclopedia.
Yeah, he fucking knows everything. I hate him. He's the worst.
He should be playing HQ and just making you like mucho dollars.
Yeah, no.
It's American.
I don't know. If it's pop culture, he doesn't know shit. But if everything
else. It's a combination. So like, there was questions about car stuff. There was a question about the Olympics. There's been like which Rose was part of the famous band Guns N' Roses. They had three different first names, and one of them was Axel. Do you know, like, It's like that kind of stuff. Yeah. And usually they do it in such a way that the questions are set to stump you up. It's not like they're false. Like, these other people were also named Rose. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
Or they're famous Roses. But, you know. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. I'm curious to see how much further it goes. And, geez, they're getting some traction. Super impressive.
Cool.
All right. Well, that's pretty much it when it comes to what everybody's playing. And I think it's time to jump into the news of the week. So let's do that right after this break. Okay, it's time for some news. Catherine, what do you got for me?
Well, you know how 2017 was the year of the loot box.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Activision Blizzard released their revenues for 2017, their revenue report, and they made over $4 billion in microtransactions in 2017.
Oh, fucking course.
More than half their revenue was microtransaction. Mm-hmm. So, but that, like, that's Blizzard and Activision. And Activision has King, which makes Candy Crush.
Yeah.
Okay. And
so, for me, like, that's the proof that if you do microtransactions well and respect your consumer, you can make a good chunk of change.
Yeah.
Because out of all of them, I think they actually do it the best.
Yeah, I mean, there was some issues with Destiny at one point.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Destiny.
Activision Blizzard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm just every time I hear I forget that Destiny's part of that.
Yeah. But yeah.
Okay.
So two out of three. Yeah, their catalog is like Call of Duty, World War II, Overwatch, Destiny 2. There's World of Warcraft. There's Heroes of the Storm. Hearthstone, which is another big one. And then there's everything that's like under King is all the Candy Crushes, because there's like four of them. There's Bubble Witch and whatever else they make. So, but I mean, the way Candy Crush does it, it's actually like you can play the game without spending any money unless you're very, very addictive and plow through lives like nobody's business.
I never have time. Yeah, I only play when I'm on the bus.
Yeah, by the time I get to work, like if I go through one or two lives max anyway. But yeah, so that's all. Honestly, it's all to say that like King's share is valued at $2 billion.
Impressive.
And the other $2 billion comes from the PC and in-game purchases. So all that to say that, you know what, with all the hoopla about microtransaction, it's the proof that if you do it well... And you do it in a more respectable way.
Well, you
make your money.
It's also the proof that people will buy all the shit that you put on there, even though it's not needed. But like, I was reading an article, and like to stay competitive in Hearthstone, you have to spend close to $300 a month to like get the actual cards, and then get the dupes, and then get the extras, and then get the dust and all that stuff. To stay competitive, you have to spend about $300.
But is that because other players are spending that much money?
Yeah, because you need to be competitive and like keep having the proper deck that is the most optimized and the most, you know, the best deck you can have. Yes. Oh, yes. Ooh. A month. And that's like lowballing it. Like some people were saying that, you know, because some of them are sponsored, like, and that one's the first thing that Hearthstone players get is money to buy card packs. And like a lot of people are complaining that that's a lot of fucking money to be able to stay competitive and to be able to have all the cards you want to actually compete at a high level. So
that's what I was wondering. In those cases, like, I remember when we used to play Pokemon and stuff, we would restrict what was available to us.
Oh, there's no
make
restriction.
It on evening. There's no restriction?
No.
And
I think that's the problem, because pro players are spending so much money to get the decks and the cards that they're like... Mm-hmm. Inflating that the economy of that game.
Probably. True. But that's, you know, if you want to win, that's what you got to do. So
interesting.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's an Activision Blizzard game. And, you know, World of Warcraft makes shit ton of money with in-game transaction as well. And
Well, just the server changes are like, what, $10, $20 US?
Server change is $25. And if you want to change race with that, then it's another $25. And then if you want to change faction, that's another $25. So it's and they rarely ever go on sale. Like, and if it's on sale, it's like 25% off. So it's very rarely that these things go on sale because they probably make so much fucking money just out of those services. That's just fucking crazy.
Is this why companies like Blizzard, Activision are not putting out as many titles? They're just feeding the ones
they're milking
have.
Everything they have for every cent, and it's working. And you know, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. That's fine. You know, work with the product you have and keep updating everything, which they are. Like, they're updating, there's regular updates for all their games, and that's fantastic. So, you know, props to them for doing it, but in the end, that's definitely what's making the money, microtransactions. It's a little bit more than half, or close to being half, is the money that they make is through microtransactions. So
And you know, they do support the games. Like, their
games have
a long life because they keep supporting it. And I mean, everybody's been saying that StarCraft is dying, but they're still like trying to see,
still updating it, still doing tournaments, still doing balances, still.
Because just see that Scarlett won the StarCraft tournament for just before the Olympics started.
And Pyeongchang,
if I'm saying that correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a hard one to say, by the way.
It's cool to see a Canadian winning this, so.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Very true. What do you got for me, Simon?
What do I got? Well, we were talking a little bit about Monster Hunter, actually, earlier in the podcast. And, you know, since I've been playing it, of course, I'm looking at Monster Hunter World News. And basically today it was announced, well, I think 2 days ago it was announced that Monster Hunter World is now the fastest selling Capcom game ever.
Impressive.
With 6 million units shipped in 3 months. Mm-hmm. No, five million copies in 3 days, and six million total so far since the game has been released. It's, you know, on the way to becoming the biggest selling Capcom game of all time. I think it's 700,000 short from Resident Evil 5.
Wow.
Which, you know, it's, you know, when you look into it, considering all the games Capcom have under the belt, you know, all the Resident Evil, the Devil May Cry, all that kind of stuff, fucking Mega Man or whatever, it's Monster Hunter World is going to become the biggest selling game ever for Capcom, and it's not even out on PC yet.
So, damn.
The moment it comes out on PC, it'll sell another couple million, then it's going to be. You know, considering that, you know, Monster Hunter used to be a
niche
game that really pretty much only came out on handheld. Like, there wasn't a ton of actual releases on consoles and stuff. A lot of it was on the DS and all that, and the PSP and Vita and all that. Seeing it, you know, of course, it's the most friendly, user-friendly version of the game. Like, it's pretty easy to start picking up and enjoying right away. Think that's probably the appeal as well for a lot of people, and just the fact that there's so much to do, there's the depth of this game is ridiculous. There's so much stuff happening in the game, which is probably why it's a bit unnerving when you first start playing it, because there's a lot of shit happening at once and you're like, what the fuck. So, but it's the basic of the game is very well presented, but then you can kind of like jump into all the more details. But I'm not surprised to see those numbers, because that's all I've been talking about. And we talked a little bit about earlier that a lot of my Destiny YouTubers, Dotto, Vife, they're all switching to Monster Hunter. Well, maybe not switching, but are now doing a lot more Monster Hunter World content, because it has that kind of depth that Destiny 1 really had, you know, with all the different perks and all that kind of stuff. Like, so a lot of people are going to be looking into optimal builds and, you know, what's the best I can do with that weapon and then this weapon, and then how do I combine the different things to make it cool. And like, there's a lot of depth into that game. So, and you know, Capcom said that they were going to release a lot of free updates and a lot of free contents and new monsters, new locations. So, you know, fuck yeah. And I'm happy to see the game doing so well out here, especially in the West.
Yeah, this is one game that I actually know very little on, and
same
I think it's one that I'd probably be interested in. I just think I just need time.
It's a lot of, it's a lot of, well, I say that, but the missions, like the main story missions per se, are not that super long.
Okay.
Like you can kind of jump into them and they're 30 minutes max to do one. So like you can do that and then you don't have to do another story mission for a while. You can just go do hunts and missions and all that kind of stuff. But then, you know, whenever you're ready, okay, I'm going to do the story mission. That's another 30-ish minutes. So it's really not that bad.
Cool.
Worth it. If you like, just don't get the Xbox, the regular Xbox version.
Buy it on PlayStation.
Yes. Or Xbox One X.
All right. I pulled a news story. I usually don't do this, but because we're just three this week.
Yeah.
I saw this one on Polygon and I had to pull it up because of Kat. Okay. So Kat.
Oh yeah. Kat you.
Kat, do you like fighter games?
Kind of.
You like My Little Pony?
Yes.
Okay. So. Yeah! The title reads, yeah! My Little Pony Inspired Fighting Game is coming soon. All right. What? So this game is called Them Fightin' Herds. But it started as a My Little Pony fighting game, 2D inspired My Little Pony fighting game. So the game company or the group of fans that are creating them is called Main Six, which I think is really funny because it's spelled like main as in the main of
but
a
that
pony.
When you refer to the six main characters of My Little Pony, they call them the Main Six.
Also,
and they spell
exactly.
It main like a horse's mane. Why
exactly.
Do I know this?
So they've been working on this My Little Pony inspired 2D fighting game called MLP Fighting is Magic. But Hasbro was like, no, 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 no. You can't be doing that. And slapped him with a cease and desist.
Of course.
But these guys like their game so much that the team came back by raising $600,000 on Indiegogo and decided to just convert the name to Them Fightin' Herds.
Wow.
So, but these guys were going to be like so particular about this game that they contacted Lauren Faust, who headed up the art team at the TV hit of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, and she has actually offered to design new characters that are legally safe riffs off the magical TV ponies.
What?
Isn't that brilliant?
Oh, I just found their Indiegogo campaign and I'm just like, yes.
Kat, the game's coming in a few weeks. February 22nd on Windows PC.
So there's a cow and a dragon and, oh my god, there's a llama.
It's
supposed
to beginning with six different four-legged combatants. That's what Polygon says. So more characters are promised post-launch. So I'm totally intrigued because I enjoy MLP as well. But I am not a fighting game fan, but I think this is one that is like, it's kind of like Mortal Kombat where you just like you want to play because it's just it's a train wreck, but like you want to know. saying that this game is a train wreck or that Mortal Kombat is a train wreck. It's just that like, you know, you just can't take your eyes off it because you're like, what are they gonna do with this, right? Like Mortal Kombat, how gruesome can the kills get, right? The fatalities, what can they do with this? Like
four button fighting. A for light, B for medium attack, C for heavy attack, and D for magic attack. Emphasize your character's special abilities through a dedicated button and unique resource.
So Catherine didn't know I was pulling this news story out of my butt. Because
no.
this actually only dropped like... This dropped right when we were when we started to record the podcast. And I saw that it was only going to be the three of us. We had two new stories. And I was like, I need to do this. So Catherine's only learning about this now. So apologies if she's a little distracted.
Speechless.
I can't comment.
Perfect. I'm so happy right now. Now, can we just get people at, I don't know, like at Cartoon Network or something. Like, I need that Avatar game. Just saying. Just putting it back in the universe.
Just throwing that out there. And that pretty much closes out this show for this week. Thank you again for listening. Before I let you go, I want to, of course, thank our wonderful website hosting, Fun.io. They have wonderful website hosting abilities. If you're looking for something along those lines, be it VPS hosting or something smaller like a WordPress blog, you should go check them out. Stream Team.
Stream Team is, you know, pretty much business as usual.
Yeah.
Going well. GirlsOnGames.tv there's literally always someone streaming all the
time.
That
is very true. Always. Very true. Catherine, what's going on our website?
Well, we have the latest episode of Of Buffs and Nerves, yes! All about the CSGO Boston Major, and mm-hmm. I hope you love CSGO, because that's like a 3-hour fucking long episode.
Three-hour episode, and we cut it down, so that's it would have been much longer if we would have had our way.
Okay, so there's that, and we have a DIY project for to make your own Monster Hunter sculpture by a nerdy crafter.
Nice.
And it's a budget sculpture. She keeps it under $10.
Nice.
That's awesome.
And then what's the name of the creature? The nerd. I forget the name of the creature. I'm a mess. Sorry. Still going on.
It's the thing with the things and the stuff.
It's just happening this week.
It's at girlsongames.ca. It's pretty. Go see it.
Just go look it out. It's worth your time. All right. I want to thank all the folks on my lovely digital table. Wait, that doesn't make any sense. That's okay. I'll continue anyway. I want to thank the wonderful folks around my digital table for chatting with me today.
That works.
Catherine, can you shout out your social media so people can follow you?
Yes, I am CSDSBINS, CSDBIN on Twitter, Instagram, Mixer, the Chill Art Streamer back on Tuesday. For those of you who speak French, the latest episode of Les Jeux Sans Fait is out, where I talk all about Twitch video producer and how YouTube is changing and how Twitch is actually going after YouTubers like Markiplier to get them on Twitch. So
good. I mean, not that I want to say that Twitch is good, but good that they're giving some competition to YouTube.
Yeah, they need it. They need a mm-hmm. reality check. So mm-hmm. that episode is out. I retweet all the episodes I'm in for Girls on Games and for Les Jeux Sans Fait on Twitter. So CSDBien, you can follow me there.
Thank you, Catherine. Simon, where can we follow you, buddy?
Yeah, I got a new handle because, I don't know, I figured that mine was too simple and I kind of wanted to make it funny like Kat. So,
no. But hers is just her name.
No, I know, I'm just kidding. you can find me at itme40 on Twitter. So itme and 40 spelled out. And yeah, just follow. I haven't streamed in a while, but I usually stream on Saturday, which is raid night on WoW. So if you want to watch some people stumble in WoW and fumble in WoW and just suck in general, then yeah, definitely mixer.com/42.
Sweet. And I'm Leah Jew, our most social media platforms, GOG Leah on Mixer and Xbox Live. I'm hoping to get back to some streaming now that I can stay in one place for more than a week. Yay. Work. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games, and you can follow us at The Girls on Games on Twitter and Facebook. We're on Instagram. Instagram is just Girls on Me. What? Hold on. Girls on Me?
That's a different kind of account.
Too much wine.
Yeah, don't go on that thing, because who knows what kind of account that is. Girls on
No.
Me.
Okay, hold on. Let's try that again.
I'm keeping that in. Fuck
you
that.
Can. That's quite all right. When I catch myself, I think it's really funny. I was going to say we are just Girls on Games on Instagram, not the. Just Girls on Games.
Okay.
And we have a lovely Discord channel where we continue this wonderful conversation. Discord.me/Girls on Games. But if you ever need to know anything at all about Girls on Games, you can track it all down at our home base. That is our website, girlsongames.ca. So once again, thank you, Kat. Thank you, Simon. Thank you for listening. It's been a wonderful week. I'm going to go play some games. You can do the same. All right, let's do this. Bye.